we don't have any new growth in the city with children. This will help the school district. So, you know, by the way, they also get a copy of these packages.
Yeah.
And they, but aren't they building a larger middle school?
That's because the old one was not good. But yes, they are.
Yeah, Mayor, I just wanted to add that we do provide these plans to the school district for any preliminary plat, any land division, really, whether it's a certified survey map, which would be four lots or less, or a subdivision like this of 69 lots. So we're always in close communication with the school district on any new development happening. So they have an opportunity to review these plans, same as the general public has. I also wanted to comment on, there's been a couple residents, Mr. Luters and Mrs. Tim, about who questioned the meetings and how those happen to take place and maybe what the difference is between tonight's meeting where some of you received a notice and some of the other meetings where maybe some of you didn't. The preliminary meetings we call neighborhood meetings, and they're at the discretion of the developer and the alderman of the district. And they it's their discretion who they invite to that meeting, but obviously they want to get the closest people to the lot that's going to be developed. And so the folks that they invite, you know, they for any meeting, we always hope that there's word of mouth, and obviously you all communicate, and that's great. We want as many people to turn out to these things as possible. Tonight's meeting is a public hearing for the special use application, and we're required by state law to notify residents within a certain distance of this property. And so if you did not get a letter, so in Mrs. Tim's case, you probably live too far down on 47th Street. You're not within our mandatory required buffer to send a letter that the state requires. So, it six homes away could be. I think it's 500 feet. So, we're required to send people within 500 feet. So we, using our GIS, we go out 500 feet, and we will send you a letter if you're within that distance. And you know, obviously, we hope that you guys communicate and talk, and you do, which is great because you're all here. So thanks for coming today.
Yep. Us the names and addresses of the same people who would be sent a public notice, and those are the people that we sent the letters to initially. So we use the same list that got the public notice for the same people that we sent notices to for the neighborhood meeting.
Okay. Before I go back to you, Alderman Dander, and then I get one other.
Well, as Oren explained, but we do not select the names. It's a boundary of 500 feet. Whoever falls in that parameter is, we give them the address or the owners of record, and they get the letter. So we are not picking and choosing individuals that we think are going to make this a favorable decision, okay? So just so you know, it's a random selection of a geographic boundary. Also, in regards to the numbers and the school programs or the school needs today, as the mayor mentioned, the schools need new development. And actually, if we look at the numbers, they're starting to decline. Why? Because the average age in the city of Franklin is actually rising. So the city's getting older. And so the younger kids are moving out, okay? And they're running out of, they're not in the schools. Okay, so there, you know, for the city to continue to prosper, we need to have generation. And even though I know that the gentleman back there is wondering, hey, why don't you hear from us? Our turn is after you have had your chance to speak, okay? So our decisions are coming, and we've already spoken to planning behind the scenes and in telephone conversations prior to the meetings. And so this is your opportunity to vet. These individuals have vetted it considerably. Also, in regards to square footage, everybody, as and it was mentioned, everybody doesn't want big half-acre lots today. And they're paying for the smaller lots. The subdivision that I live in was developed 15 years ago. It was developed with, on average, 12 to 13, little over 12,000 square feet. And I've got over a 3,000 square foot two-story home on it. So the development of these individuals, if we go back and look at the work that they do and the conditions that are going to be in the covenants in regards to the amount of stone that's going to be required on the exterior, the natural wood that's going to be required on the exterior, and now look at it in surrounding your surrounding suburb around this area, I think you're going to see this is going to be a quality development. See, we've had a chance to look at more detail than you, but I'm hoping that with all these questions, you're going to get the detail to hopefully give you a little bit more of a better picture of the type of development that's going to occur out here.
Hi, Tom Klusman back. One question developed while this occurred. Didn't you say at the beginning that if these lots were larger, then the open space wouldn't be necessary or required? Did I hear that or no?
Mr. Sumwell.
That's correct. The special use for the open space option number two version of the R3 zoning is what's requiring the open space. So if the subdivision were going to be developed under the plain R3 standards, then the natural resource protection would still be required, and you would still see this outlot, and you would still see this outlot, and you would still see something here being protected, but you would not see any of this open space, and you wouldn't see any along the south, and you wouldn't have this over here outside of probably what was needed for stormwater and or the private park.
So I would take the alternative view to some because I'm right up against this. I like the open space. So, and I think if this wasn't a viable plan with these lot sizes, then the worst thing that's going to happen here is that they're going to put a lot of money into that farm field and lay us some nice new roads, and if no one buys the houses, it'll look just like it looks now, but it'll have roads in it. So I'll be happy there, too. So that's a good point. But the last point being that I think it's a change, but I'm trying to look at it. It's a change out my back window, but if I took a viewpoint that you know this isn't perfect and that isn't perfect and I'm not overly welcoming to change and new neighbors, then my house wouldn't be there because the people that were my neighbors before would have stonewalled something and said, I like the farm field that you now live in. So we have to welcome our new neighbors, and we need development, and the schools need kids and things like that. So, I can't see this as a bad thing. So that was my point.
I'm going to agree about your welcoming, but we also work with the issues that you bring up to make sure it's better for you folks.
And to the point of the questions that have happened about whether...
You've been overruled, Mira.
this was vetted out. If you go on the website, the Planning Commission website, where I got all this paperwork, there's a bunch of paperwork in there that clearly was sent by the Planning Commission to the developer that required responses and to address a large number of things. I was actually quite surprised by it, that man did all these things, and then you can see the... developer's response that yes, we incorporated this. So this is not the draft I clearly noticed when I reviewed those documents.
Thank you, Tom. Mira, give us your name and address, or just your name again.
Mira Kresovic. First of all, I'm surprised that you got so much information. I know I had requested everything that we saw in January, and I did not receive everything. Idea just occurred to me. Good fences make good neighbors, and providing a platform where everybody can enjoy their yards is ideal. A couple of people had mentioned making some of the yards maybe a little larger. My thought was, my understanding is, just to the east of me, can I point?
Sure.
Just these houses here. I'm under the impression that those lots are currently mapped out to be too small to allow a single-story home being built. Since this is a builder-only subdivision, would it be possible to somehow adjust so that that would be a single-story only home? That way, you know, with the full basement, I mean, if you're going to do the full basement, I'm going to be stuck with that grading. That would maybe be a consideration.
Matt's taking notes. Alderman Dandre.
Just so you know, those are over a third of an acre, those lots back there. And so if you've got over a third of an acre of lot and where the pad is located, there's going to be a considerable distance to your site.
Right, but when I look out my back window...
She's still got three stories.
Well, you're always going to
She's
see
got your
it.
House yes. staring in her face.
Right, with a big 35,000-gallon pool, too.
You know, the three stories versus the two stories is
I understand.
A consideration.
Okay. I understand.
And it was Mr. Chevy that had mentioned that those lots might be too small to build a single-story home.
Good. We'll take a look at it.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Anyone? Okay. Seeing no one else rise, I'm going to close the public hearing. Just with one other comment, I do have to comment that there's been some school district references. I want to send a compliment to the new school superintendent who's worked with me very well on lots of issues. It's 180 out from our previous school administrator. So, and her instructions to staff has been to work with us. So they're on board with her. They're aware and know of this project, so it's all good. So, okay. All right, questions? Thank you very much. Nobody ever told you, you got to wait through the whole meeting. Yeah. I guess not. Thank you, folks.
If anybody else needs additional information, please come to the planning department or call us.
On the screen so far, and that they submitted for this meeting is on the website.
We haven't decided yet. I think everything's done.
Let's take a 5-minute recess.
You ready for
it? Is 8:16. We're back in open session to plan commission meeting. Questions from the commission to staff relative to Aspen Woods.
Well,
Alderman Dandridge.
We should give the common courtesy. You know, looking at this project, I can tell that that the developer has worked and vetted this out considerably, and the preparation of this material compared to some projects that have come to us is definitely on the high end. And I and I'm sure the rest of the commissioners out here really appreciate this as we've got to move forward to come council, you know, at the next meeting. And I'd like to thank staff very much so for working so diligently with them to hopefully make this as easy as possible out there. I mean, I heard the questions that the neighbors had, and unfortunately, or fortunately, it's similar concerns that every development encounters, and it's going to be the neighbors that are abutting this project, and this has been natural since its infancy, the development of this world. And so I just ask that, you know, we heard a few new little nuances of concerns, that you look and listen to them a little bit and see what we can do to massage it. I'm not making any conditional changes or anything like that. It's just that, hey, let's just be good neighbors. That's all out there.
Commissioner Morrow.
For the rest of the commission's information, I occasionally get with the Jack, prior city engineer, occasionally, and we chat about various things. When we discussed this project, he'd mentioned that to the southeast there was a huge drainage concern, and that the city had actually looked at one time about paying a developer to oversize this retention basin for drainage going to that. Having said that, I came back and had staff look into it in depth, and we realized that the concern is actually an area a little bit further to the east, because the actual drainage comes across the road. So unlike what one of the residents said tonight, this lot does split. Most of it does run to the northeast, but some of it does run to, I'm sorry, to the northwest, but some of it does run to the southeast. But the area that we would potentially pay a developer to oversize their basin would not help the drainage issues to the south. So I just want to clarify that in case that, that comes up in conversation. Some other things we want to talk about is, and Jesse's not here to explain, I think we can still approve it tonight and we should have an answer before the common council meeting, but when the city acquired the property for Pute's Road construction, there was a line indicating that there should be no access to Pute's Road from this property. I interpreted that as the driveways should not be on Pute's Road, but that a road would be just fine. Again, I talked to Jack about that, that same issue. That was his understanding of it, but the attorneys are not so sure it's that clear. So they're hoping to clear that up, and he's not here tonight to further expand on that topic, but I anticipate that by the time it gets to common council, that'll be resolved of some sort.
I have some knowledge of that.
I'd love to hear some more knowledge, yes.
Matt, yeah, use the microphone, please. We record these things. So.
Sure. The city attorney reached out to our attorney, and there is a line in question that talks about the access point to Pute's Road. The proposed solution by the city attorney is to have city council adopt a resolution that allows, basically negates that line and allows for the one access point and then an additional construction access that we had talked about earlier as well. What the city attorney wanted to do is make sure that both the existing owner and the proposed buyer are both in agreement that this is something that they could do so that nobody, either the potential buyer or the existing owner, could not object to it at the city council meeting. So he has received affirmative answers from both the buyer and the seller of this property. And so now they're working through what type of resolution may be required and exhibits may be required so that they can be voted upon at city council.
I appreciate that update. I had not heard that. So,
Matt Chudney, the applicant.
No age.
Sorry, Matt.
Also want to talk about the entrances that was discussed about there should be a couple entrances off of Pute's Road. That was our preference, but developer just felt like one was needed. After looking at it, we feel that we can live with that, just one entrance. They did, however, concede that during the construction of Phase 2, the construction entrance will line up with the other entrance off of Lessee Drive. But once the subdivision is completely developed and the construction traffic is basically done, that temporary entrance would go away, and so there would just be one outlet to Pute's after the final development. I think the other issues I think we talked about through that. I guess the one comment was the hours of operation. Is that something that would be developed later?
Put that in the developer's agreement.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be recommending it.
I'm not inclined.
I'd wait to see if there was a problem.
I think that's probably a good solution.
Commissioner Burkhart.
I know concerning the playground, the one resident that had the problem was because her property is adjacent. That's very close to her residence. I think what she's probably failing to consider is that's also going to be adjacent to the folks who live in this subdivision and who are pretty much only users of that park, and I think it's going to kind of be a self-policing hours at that point that nobody's really going to want their kids behind their neighbor's house yelling and screaming. I think her concerns are valid, but I think that that's probably an issue that's going to take care of itself. One other question I do have is just the exiting of the subdivision. I know that at one point Engineer Morrow had said that the city would have desired two exits out of here. Is that construction entrance and exit that's going to be temporary until construction is complete on the subdivision, is that even an option to turn that into the main entrance and exit permanently, or is that something that's restricted by lot size isn't something that's going to cause a lot of grievance overall. I do understand some of their concerns with the congestion, especially as the mayor was indicating that everybody's natural inclination is going to be go up there, turn left, and then go north on 51st Street, which that's a pretty crowded area on school mornings. That's the time when everybody's going to be utilizing that area. I don't know if it's an option to get that moved so it's not maybe necessarily quite that congested, but it would be something that...
We did look at, you know, traffic patterns and different traffic...
Scott, can you give us your name?
Yep, Scott Rolchin from XL Engineering. And based on this being a residential subdivision, peak times are, there isn't much of a peak time. A little bit of a peak in the morning, but, you know, night there's literally no peak time because it's all single-family residential. It's not like a business. So we don't anticipate there being, you know, much of a problem with the traffic patterns here, especially with one entrance. There's actually two entrances, but the entrance off of Pute really shouldn't be an issue because, you know, the patterns are so diversified that, you know, there just really isn't a really good peak time. You know, it's the other entrance we found was just not warranted in this case. But we did want the construction entrance off of Pute for this phase two just to eliminate any issues with construction traffic going through the already improved streets and just to eliminate any potential problems with the residents that are there right now or will be there after it's built.
And I'm sorry, let me clarify. I wasn't asking for consideration of a second entrance. Again, I was wondering if it's possible to make one permanent entrance towards the east side of the development in the area where the construction entrance is intended to be, and that be the permanent entrance into the subdivision to alleviate long-term any problems that you have down in the 51st and Pute area, not necessarily during construction, just in the long-term.
You're asking to move the entrance from the west.
Oh, I see. From the west to the east. It's a horse apiece. We just felt that just the way the topography laid up there, that that was the better place for the entrance. We're still plenty far away from 51st Street. That it there will be no issues with backup of traffic there. So it just made sense just the way the topography laid out there and the way the streets laid out with the topography that that was the best spot to put that entrance.
Thank you.
Commissioner Morrow.
One other thing to indicate about the construction entrance, that's needed because there's a new state statute that requires the final lift of asphalt to be put on within a certain amount of time, and that wouldn't coincide with the phase two. So we are trying to protect the we are allowing him to complete the full completion of the road for phase one, and then phase two would not, construction traffic would not mess that up.
State knows best. Commissioner Alderman Dandrea.
Now, Glenn, you've looked at this, the wetlands area and the retention ponds. We're looking, we've got a depth of 738, looks like, on the west retention pond. And so we're 750 is the road. So is that, that should control some of the concerns of the water going to the nature reserve, you know, by Milwaukee, correct? I mean, that, correct. As I can see it.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they are very strict restrictions with the MMSD requirements. I mean, this is above DNR and above the city requirements that, you know, the concerns of the residents, you know, these are really going to be very large ponds that will control the runoff by a lot.
I mean, well, yeah, you've got a lot of area to cover.
There's a lot of area in there, very big ponds as well. I mean, the northwesterly pond is probably half an acre in size, just the wet area of it. It's going to control this development very well for rolling that water down.
All these retention ponds are covered under your now you're going to have an association? And so you'll...
Yes.
So the association is going to be responsible for the management.
The maintenance. And it'll be a maintenance agreement drawn up for that.
Okay.
Well.
Right. Why do you ask that?
Right, Joel?
That's normal city requirement.
I know it is. Why do I ask?
Yeah, even Matt made a good point with the MMSD requirements. I mean, we are actually throttling the waters down even beyond or below the pre-development rate. So, okay. You know, it's...
It might be better.
Yeah. The situation should be better than what they're experiencing there.
Right? Sure. Okay.
Anything else?
The landscaping, I mean, should have made comments, but you're going to put plenty of pines in this area with the aspens and everything that's going to go in here. So there's going to be, I mean, granted, there's going to be plenty of blockage and foliage on the perimeter that the neighbors, how about to the west? Or to the west, how is she going to be blocked?
She's good enough.
She doesn't. Huh?
I got an answer for that.
Oh, okay. You got an answer. The mayor's going to talk on that one. Okay. But I think, that's a good layout of what I see on the perimeter this far. Maybe we can look on this side a little bit. She was talking a fence. Maybe some nature will do better.
And I mean, did your ordinance even require landscaping in that buffer? I don't believe it does.
In the open space buffer?
No, it does not. It requires the open space, and the easement language specifically allows for berms and plantings of shrubs and trees. It prohibits structures, but no, it doesn't require planting.
I guess I just want to take a little credit for going above and beyond what the ordinance calls for with all of the additional landscaping buffering that we're putting in as is.
Commissioner Moore.
I do recall early on we talked about the trees, and we wanted to make sure that we did indeed have a variety of trees. You know, when you just focus on planting one tree, like, you know, then
emerald ash.
Yeah, then something comes along and kills all those trees off. So you like to have the full grocery list of trees that we allow.
Plant commission rules require unanimous votes on these because we need four votes. Relative to the special use, is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions, and the mayor will vote, restrictions for the approval of a special use for a 74-lot subdivision within 69 single-family residential lots, 5 outlots in a private neighborhood park, use upon a property located at approximately 51st and West Peutz Road with, no, I'm going to put that under plat. Is there such a motion?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Questions? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 4 ayes. Relative to the preliminary plat, is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a preliminary plat for Aspenwood subdivision at approximately 51st Street and West Peutz Road with the addition of some additional landscaping on lots 60, 61, and 62 on the west property line?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Move on to item C2, compliance with 2017 Wisconsin Act 67, Unified Development Ordinance, text amendment, Mr. Beadle.
Long awaited, frequently or often promised. So almost all the changes are made now. Based on that state law changes, they're proposed in that draft ordinance. The last round of changes, Jesse hasn't had a chance to look at. He does want to make a couple tweaks, so he's recommending approval with that added condition at the end, subject to minor technical corrections.
This is a continuation of a public hearing begun on the April. The last meeting, whatever it was.
March 8th.
Is there anyone wishing to speak on this matter? Seeing no one in the audience, I will close the public hearing on this matter. Is there a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance text to comply with 2017 Wisconsin Act 67, which we have no control over, requirements, and Wisconsin Statute 62.23 pertaining in part to the standards for issuance of a special use permit, the regulation of substandard lots, and the standards for granting certain zoning variances subject to minor staff corrections.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion of that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That brings us to the end of the meeting. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.